We do indeed count it a great privilege to be here at Union Church this morning. So thankful to see each and every one of you that are assembled here, and certainly we miss those who aren't. And Brother Jewel expressed that this morning, what this COVID situation has done to us in this life and restricted some of our freedoms. But certainly enjoyed the song service this morning, even though whether or not a lot of us here have. It was beautiful singing to me. I appreciate Brother Hunter's prayer, and I appreciate the comments that Brother Joe made. Just as he started to come into the stand, I thought about it. I said, I didn't even mention Brother Rudy Odom this morning when Brother Joe was asking for needs of prayer. And I was told midweek that with Brother Rudy, they were going to keep him on life support if he wasn't better in 4 or 5 days, which we almost at that point, that they were going to consider taking him off of life support. And I know Brother Rudy's not a lot older than me, and certainly we pray for him this morning. He's been in that road before where the family, I think, had been called in, and the Lord spared him. And we trust if it's His holy will, His perfect will, He'll do that again. But Joe mentioned, you know, that maybe I'm a little less stressed now than I have been. And it's a different situation for me. Since the fall of 1965, I've been on one side of the desk or the other, and now I'm not. You know, and we're 2 weeks into this, and I figured this morning I've ridden my bicycle 112 miles. I read from this book every day, and I'm hopefully gearing up when I turn to 6-0 not too long from now to ride 60 miles that day. Pace myself. I'll probably be by some of your houses to get some water or something because I'll probably come this way. But this morning, you know, when we wake up, we sing a song here many times. Brother Charles Matthews loved that song, and it's on the same page as Jesus Our Sinner's Friend. But said he formed a people for his praise, and I don't care to stay here long. You know, that once you get in a retirement situation, you have to identify your cause. You know, we understand that the Lord did form a people for His praise. And that's why He created us, to bring glory and honor to His holy name. Many times in Scripture, we'll find, you know, and I think it's important that we evaluate our circumstances and prioritize things in life and establish what is important to us. What causes are we going to fight for? Is there a cause that we're willing to die for? In the King James translation of God's Word, there are 24 statements in the Bible that says for this cause, and something comes after that. Four of them in essence, and three of them for sure. One of them just worded a little bit differently in the book of Genesis. But in the book of Matthew chapter 19 and Mark chapter 10 and Ephesians chapter 5, we find this very phrase, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall become one flesh. For this cause. A cause is something that stirs us into action. You know, Zig Ziglar said that character gets us out of bed, commitment motivates us, and discipline enables us to follow through. I can't tell you in middle school education how many times over the years that I've had a female student in one of my classes bring a bride magazine to school. That's a day that a lot of planning goes into. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave. Cleave means to be intimately connected, a strong attachment. You know, Mother Teresa said, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. If you want to change the world, go home and love your family. But those young girls at school, you know, they bless their hearts, they got it all figured out. They see the dress on page 37, that's the one they want. And when they say when they get married, I'm going to have three children, two boys and a girl, and I'm going to name them, you know, this, this, and this. It don't quite work that way, but you see what I'm talking about? They have a plan, don't they? It's important to them. They start thinking about it when they're just a little girl. For this cause, and the twain shall become one flesh. I'm thankful, Brother Joe, for the examples in this church where the twain became one flesh. The example they set before the Lord's children inspired us as we walk in this world. You know, there's so many things in Scripture. You know, we'll look at some of them this morning with the Lord being a helper over in to the church at Corinth. The church of Corinth needed some encouragement. Are there churches today that need encouragement? Everyone I know of. We need encouragement. And Paul realized that, and he told the church at Corinth, he said, "For this cause sent I unto thee Timotheus." Timothy, my beloved son. Timothy was not Paul's natural son. You know that from reading Scripture. I don't think Paul ever married. But he looked at him as a son. And you know what I thought about? I thought about this subject that, you know, everybody's had to postpone their 3 days meetings. And that just bothers me deeply. I enjoy that time of celebration, that time of refreshing that comes from the Lord. But I would love to invite Timothy. If he was still living, I'd like to invite Timothy to preach the annual meeting here at Union Church. And I'd try to be here Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. And probably be asking, could he stay to Sunday night and Monday night and just continue the meeting? That's what Paul told the church at Corinth. He realized that they were discouraged. He said, "For this cause, I send unto you Timotheus, my beloved son." He told the church at Ephesus, you know, he was concerned about them too, wasn't he? The church at Ephesus, he told them, he said, I don't want you to faint in my tribulations. You know, it seemed like it would have been easy. You talk about the things that we face in this world, Brother Joe. It seems like sometimes that we can look at the hardships that our brothers and sisters face from time to time, and we could be disheartened some, wondering, you know, Lord, how can this dear brother suffer so much in this present world? But I remind you this morning, nobody suffered more than the Lamb of God. No one suffered more than He did. But yet He endured the shame of the cross and all the humiliation and the pain and agony that went on there for the elect's sake, as the Bible says. But he told the church at Ephesus, he says, I'm concerned that you may faint in my tribulation for this cause. For this cause I bow upon my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that this morning. He said, "For this cause I bow upon my knees to pray for you that you'd faint not in my tribulation." He told the church in Colossae, in the Colossian letter, he told them, he said, you know, Epaphras hath described your love in the Spirit. And I paraphrase that a little bit, but he said that Epaphras has encouraged us. He tells us about your love in the Spirit. He said, "For this cause, from the time I heard it, we prayed for thee without ceasing." Another place in Scripture, in the book of Titus, he tells this young preacher Titus, he says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that you may set in order the things that are wanting, the things that are lacking there, the things that would need to be improved in the church." He said, "Titus, for this cause I left you there." You know, in Acts chapter 27 and Acts chapter 28, there's some really good reading in Scripture. In Acts 27, Paul and 275 more that were on the ship with him suffered shipwreck, and they got to shore safely upon the island of Malta. It's called Melita in Scripture. Speaking of water, we ask you to pray for the family of Alan Wallace from Bogachita, who drowned last weekend in the Mississippi River. And I was blessed to work with all five of his children in the school system in one capacity or another across the years. But we pray for him this morning, his family here this morning. But after they were at Melita and they left, went on the ship. About 7 days later, they went to Rome. And immediately they were turned over to the authorities. And the Bible says that Paul, this is in Acts chapter 28, Paul suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier who kept him. Paul was struggling. He was kept in solitary confinement. The others, 275, were probably kept in such a way that they were able to interact with each other. But Paul, the Bible says, suffered to be kept by himself with a soldier who kept him. But the Bible says that he said, For this cause I called unto thee, for I am the hope of Israel. For the hope of Israel I am bound with these chains. You know, all the sufferings that Paul faced, he could have eliminated some of it, all of it pretty much, if he'd have stopped preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was easier said than done. People like one of old who said, you know, he wasn't going to preach anymore, and the Bible says it was his fire shut up in his bones that he preached. I look forward to the day when I can meet the Apostle Paul. I look forward to the day I meet him. He said, for this cause, the hope of Israel, I am bound in these chains. You think of all the things that he endured while he was up on the earth. And I want to go back this morning. You go back with me to the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know, a very common situation in... Brother Joe mentioned that song this morning. We sang 434. He mentioned about David and Goliath in that song, too. The wrong against the right. The giant arm with human strength. And David with God's might. Friends, he is just the same today. Jesus Christ and God the Father is just the same today. But there was a situation here where this dear brother was... Let me back up in chapter 17 and verse 4. So there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. You remember, a cubit is about 18 inches. It's the distance from a man's elbow to the tip of his finger, about 18 inches. You do the math on that, he was 9 feet, 6 inches tall. He was a tremendous foe. But David was just a shepherd boy, not really old enough to go off to battle yet. But David is there with his father, and his daddy told him, said, "Son, said, take this parched corn, take these 10 loaves and these 10 cheeses, take them to the captain of the army and check on your brothers and see how they're doing." The Bible says that David rose early in the morning. He did just as his dad told him. He went to where his brothers were to check on them. And as we continue reading in 1 Samuel chapter 17, as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." 3 things that would be given to the man who could defeat this giant who defied and mocked the children of Israel, a man by the name of Goliath. Now David saw his eldest brother, Eliab. And Eliab, you can tell there's some jealousy involved here. You know, the Bible tells us in this book that, you know, that the man looks upon the outer appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. There's a contemporary Christian music song that says, where others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. But Eliab, you can see the jealousy that has the connotation that is here in Scripture. It says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down, and thou mightest see the battle." He said, you know, and you'll find it here in Scripture where David did not shirk his responsibility. He honored his father. His father told him, said, "Take these things to the captain of the army and check on your brothers and see how they're doing and come back and report unto me." He said he woke up early in the morning and went. And he said left his sheep with a keeper. He made sure that the sheep that he was to attend to, the flock that he had, that they were cared for. But his brother asked him, said, why did you come down here? Why are you here? So we know it's because of your pride and the haughtiness that you have, that you think you're better than you are, perhaps. And he kind of attacked the character of David, and David was doing exactly what he had been instructed to do. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Again, a cause is something that spurs us into action. It's what motivates us in this world. I ask you this morning, what is your cause? What motivates you? You've heard me say before, one of the last things that my wife told me, there comes a time when there is a deathbed, Brother Joe. It comes that time. She told me four simple words, really five. "Mickey, take care of my babies." What did Mother Teresa say? "If you want to change the world, go home and love your family." That's where it starts. It starts in the home. But Eliab attacked his own brother here and said, "Why do you come up here?" But David went before King Saul and he said, I just tell you what he said here. "What have I now done?" he asked his brother. "What have I done? All I did is I did exactly what Daddy told me to do. He told me to come here and check on you and my brothers. Why? Because just like that daddy over there with the one we call the prodigal son, that daddy had a heavy heart. I think about Brother Hunter and Sister Deanna so often. Friends, I thank God for our military and our law enforcement. I thank God for them. They have a cause. You know, there's been a lot of controversy the last couple of weeks about the flag of the state of Mississippi. Everybody had their opinion about it. And I confess this morning, I don't care a whole lot about the state flag. Whether it's the Mississippi flag, Louisiana flag, whatever. I don't really care about it too much. But I tell you, there's one flag I do care about. The one with the 50 stars on it. And the 13 stripes. And I pray that banner will continue to wave over this great country, a country of great liberty. You know, I remember one time, right after 9/11, we had an event the next week called See You at the Poll. It's always the third Wednesday. Fellowship of Christian Athletes promotes it. I still remember it very vividly there at Bogotá School. I asked my baby sister to sing the national anthem that morning. And I can tell you that flag, that was the first day I saw an airplane in the sky since 9/11. I think it was September 18th, a week later. But there was a jet that went through the skies. But as my baby sister sang that song, when she got to the point about, say does this star-spangled banner yet wave, that flag had been straight down that pole for all in that song until she got to those lyrics. "Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave." And there was a breeze picked up and that flag began to wave. A lot of people say, "Boy, that sure was a coincidence." Brother Hunter, I don't believe it for a minute. That all-powerful God that Brother Joe talked to us about this morning, I think he was conveying to me personally that I'm still in control.
I still have power. But David told King Saul, he said, I'll go fight this giant. What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And Saul was concerned about it, as I think I would have been, because the one that fought Goliath, it was just a one-on-one battle. And that person, whoever won, the others would serve them. There was a lot at stake, Brother Joe. There was a lot at stake. And this little shepherd boy told the king, said, you know, said, I'm a shepherd. One time there was a lion came into the flock, and I was able to defeat that lion. There was a bear that came in. I was able to defeat that bear and save the flock. And he said, I'm convinced that the Lord will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand as well. You know, David went there and picked up five smooth stones. And there was some conversation between David and Goliath, and Goliath told him what he was going to do, and David told him what he was going to do. David, the Philistine said to David, come to me. He said, first, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh into the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He had a great motivation. He had a cause. Is there not a cause to defend? As I mentioned Paul before, when he was in prison in Rome, he said, For this cause, I called unto thee for the cause of the children of Israel. I endure these bonds, these chains that I'm in. Going over to the New Testament this morning, we'll close. We look in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, the first six verses perhaps, there was a situation where, you remember there's a town outside of Jerusalem, Bethany. It was about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. And there are a lot of important people live there, I'm sure, but three very important people in the life of Jesus Christ live there. Mary, Martha, and their brother John. And their brother Lazarus, excuse me. Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. And we find that the Lord had gone to their house at Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Picture this situation. Now, Lazarus was dead. Now he's alive again. Jesus Christ has gone to their home. And as it always played out, seemed like, Martha was cumbered about with very much. She had much on her mind. But she did what a lot of ladies I know would do. She prepared a meal for the master. Lazarus sat at the table and ate with him, and Mary came and brought a bottle of expensive ointment and anointed the feet of Jesus Christ and dried his feet with her hair. I try to picture that scene in my mind. Look what Judas Iscariot mentioned about it. You know, I mentioned Eliab a few minutes ago. We said about David. He said, David, you come here just to see the show. You have impure motives in what you do. But here said Judas Iscariot, why was not this ointment sold and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Go down to verse 9. It said, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also,
who was raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. I hadn't read this in a while. I got to thinking about that this morning. The Lord was having a meal with Lazarus. Mary anointed his feet with precious ointment, dried his feet with her hair. The odor filled the room, and Judas Iscariot said this was a show. So this should have been sold and the money given to the poor. And they said that Judas Iscariot, he didn't have pure motives in this, which he didn't. But think about the people who knew Lazarus was dead. Brother Joe mentioned a service this morning where there was a funeral procession going on, and they were taking this widow Nain's son out of the city, and the Lord stopped the funeral procession and said, "Arise, my son," and he presented him back to his mother. I thought about Lazarus as the people who knew he died, when they saw him again, how they reacted. I heard a man out of Oak Grove Church one time tell another brother, said, "I thought you died." That wasn't exactly a good statement. I didn't know how he's going to react to that. Was that Mark Twain said? The rumors of my demise are greatly exaggerated, but something to that effect. But can you imagine the people who wanted to go see Lazarus and the reaction when they knew Lazarus was dead, that he'd been raised? And some people came and wanted to see Jesus Christ. There were others, the Bible said, wanted to see Lazarus. But there was a certain priest there that the Jews wanted to take the life of Lazarus. But you can imagine how perplexed they must have been and hesitant they must have been, because they said, if we take the life of Lazarus, then we'll have to deal with these people. But why did he want to do that? Because look what it says in Scripture. Because that by the reason of him, talking about Lazarus' resurrection, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, we had a man, and if Jesus Christ is on earth today, and he went to the cemetery and rose, told one of those down in the cemetery to rise, and the next Sunday they were at church, it would cause a great stir. We would be wondering, how was this done? Who is this man? On the next day, much people that would come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took the branches, of course, and laid it lined the streets. And this was prophesied in the Old Testament. I won't belabor the point there, but skip down to 17, verse 17. The people therefore was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle. You can understand that the people of this area at this time began to acknowledge and realize that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he was. When he's able to raise Lazarus from the dead, there were people there that probably attended that funeral. People, there were pallbearers there who carried Lazarus to the grave. There were people who covered that grave. Or I don't know if it was one of those caves, but anyway, what type of grave it was. But I know he was in there 4 days, and the Lord called him, and they had he came forth bound hand and foot, and the Lord told him, said, "Loose him and let him go." And now he's having a meal with him again, and there's much uproar around Jerusalem because of this. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Behold, the world is gone after him." The world has gone after him. I pray for that again in this country. That we'll go after him again. That we'll pursue him. That we will understand that is our cause. Our greatest cause is to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've been down that road before. You've heard me say it. I'll continue to say it time and again I'm coming up on the third anniversary of it, the 28th of this month. I had a heart condition that the medical experts have told me if you have that type of heart condition, if you're in the hospital when it happens, you have a 10% chance of survival. I'm thankful that I have a God who doesn't deal with chance. He's a God of purpose. And now that I'm retired and I have a little more time, I want to identify my cause a little more. One of the causes I want to get involved with is a memory walk. I Googled this week and all the memory walks have been canceled for this year because of COVID-19. But you know the main reason I want to do it is because I had two aunts and an uncle who died from complications of Alzheimer's. And we sang this song. I selected this song 503 this morning. I hadn't heard us sing it here in a while. We sing it all the time. And then we got away from it a little bit. And I want to hear it again this morning. But I went, I've told this story many times and I'll continue to tell it. Many years ago, my oldest daughter, Sister Blaine, and Sister Mary Lee Burris was with us. We went from our house to Baton Rouge to church service. We came back through Liberty and we visited my Uncle Bill, who was in there. They specialized in Alzheimer's care. And Uncle Bill was one of the best tour guides, fishing guides in South Louisiana. If you want to catch speckled trout and redfish, you could go with Uncle Bill. You'd load the boat. And he would get us in there by you, and he'd sing that song, Jambalaya. Uncle Bill could sing, too. This afternoon, we went to Liberty to visit him. And what happened 50 years ago, he could recollect pretty good. What happened 50 minutes ago, he didn't have a clue. And Blaine said, Uncle Bill, can you still sing Jambalaya? He said, oh, yeah, I can sing it. And he started singing it there in his room at that nursing home. He stopped in the middle of the song and he said, but Blaine, that's not the song I want you to remember Uncle Bill by. This is the song I want you to remember me by. And he began to sing, and he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. He mentioned that line there, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And Blaine would tell you, my Uncle Malvin could sing, my daddy could sing, Brother Bill sang just as good as they did on their best day and in that hospital that day. And Alzheimer's, he couldn't tell you what he had for lunch. He couldn't remember. But there may be a time in our life where all we have is the precious things we have in our association with service to our Lord. Oh, for this cause came I into the world. Let's finish this up real quick. We're out of time. But the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was a Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, excuse me, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered him, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Go down to verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. As I mentioned this morning, those young girls, Sister Polly that I taught, they had their wedding planned. Where they were going to honeymoon, where they were going to have it, who was going to be in the wedding party. They had it all planned out. Why did they have it all planned out? Because it's important to them. It's one of the most special days in a woman's life. But now we come into a part where the Lord, a day is coming that had been planned for. It had been thought out. And we knew how it was going to happen. We go back to the beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we beheld His glory, full of grace and truth. He said in verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. There was a great voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And some that were gathered there thought it was thunder. Some thought that an angel spoke to him. But the Lord said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. For this cause came I into the world. Aren't you thankful that the Lord had a cause? And we were the object of that affection. And one day, because of what He's done for us, we'll be with Him in glory. There'll be a reunion day. There will be no COVID-19 that separates us or diminishes the crowd. But because He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And my Father's will is this. All that He has given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. I want to encourage all of us to explore our cause upon the earth. And our greatest cause is to serve. Is what did Brother Oscar tell us? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. May we honor that cause, and may we go about it wholeheartedly. As Paul wrote in the church to Colossae in chapter 3 and verse 23, whatsoever you do, do heartily, as unto the Lord and not men. May the Lord bless you, our prayer this morning.
Again, we'd like to say we appreciate each one of you being here today, especially.